Welcome into another edition of Spits and Suds. I'm Gavin Spittle of 105.3 The Fan. Oh my goodness, I love shows like this because it is the mailbag edition of Spits and Suds, where we have some fun and answer your questions. As much as I love the interviews, as much as I love breaking down the tape, I love interacting with you and another person that I love interacting with, who came out with an article today, which we will start with, is the man. And I looked up earlier, to the best of Gavin Spittle's knowledge, there has never been a Castillo that has played in the NHL. There is a Castillo that played in the Mexican Hockey League. First of all, who knew there was a Mexican Hockey League? Stick tap there.
I did.
Well, then he joins us now from D Magazine, where you can read his article. Also, his Substack, Star Stack. It is the greatness of David Castillo. How are you, my friend?
You do a really great job. You're slowly turning into the why have I forgotten his name all of a sudden? Michael, Vegas dude, always the boxing, announce the fights. Michael Buffer. You're turning into
Buffer. We can't say what he says because we'll be sued. However,
trademarked.
Because it's trademarked. Yeah, absolutely. But thank you for the compliment.
Slight correction on the Mexican. There were probably several David Castillos in the Mexican Hockey League. I don't know if you found just one, but I doubt it.
There are many Castillos throughout the year that have played professional athletics. And you might be thinking to yourself as you're listening to this podcast, but there have never been Spittles that have played professional sports. Oh, but there has. Rod Spittle, professional golfer. Met him, loved him. We had a great conversation about the name Spittle. Oh,
that's as far as I got.
Gavin Spittle played collegiate tennis, but that's it. He did not go far. I can tell you that.
So have you spent time looking? This is obviously not hockey related, but have you spent time looking for your doppelgangers, like your name doppelgangers?
Like people of my same name?
Yeah. Like I remember doing it myself and I was just like, dude, there's like nobody interesting. There's like a pop star, I think, named David Castillo. And I was just like, oh, God. I mean, I wish I could be him, but, you know, whatever.
Pop star. No Gavin Spittles out there.
Well, no. That's what makes you special.
Oh, my goodness. This is going to be a special show tonight. The article just released by D Magazine, written by our very own David Castillo. The Stars forwards couldn't miss last year. Can Pete DeBoer make them even better? Really, really interesting article because, David, you highlight on the defense has kind of been the story and that everyone talks about the defense, but a great point made by you. It was actually the offense that faltered against the Edmonton Oilers, and I agree with you, and it was a terrific reminder. And you also brought up, you know, the power play and what's going to happen as far as Pete DeBoer and offensively with this team.
Yeah. One of the things, I think the big thing is sort of kind of, you know, trying to identify sort of the difference between kind of, you know, sustainable offense and just raw offense. And my suspicion is that I think you know, even though you could see Dallas kind of drop in the amount of goals they score, I think it's going to be an absolute like fog. Like, I think they'll probably be able to generate. I think the biggest issue, if you look at some of the underlying data, really Dallas's issue was they just didn't take enough shots. You know, a rare moment where the just shoot crowd is extremely correct. If Dallas just shot more, they have talented enough shooters that they could be even better. And obviously the big thing, the reason why I included DeBoer in the discussion is that, like, well, how is he going to, like, how is it is, for example, and I'm sure this is going to be part of the mailbag, but like, well, you know, hey, what if Maverick Bork works with Robertson and Hintz? What does that do for the offense? Is that the perfect thing? Does he give it a long enough leash to let it develop rhythm if they're good long-term? And there were like a lot of different things, but I do think it's the offense is going to be their calling card. That's how they're going to win. That's not to in any way, sort of minimize Jake Ottinger and like the bounce back year he needs or Miro Heiskanen in the defense, just that this is This is their identity, I think.
And William Willow 2 asks on Twitter, what do you think is an idea to start the season for the Stars? An ideal start. Also, is there any update on the Harley deal? I've not seen much news about it. No update. Sean Shapiro spoke with GM Jim Nill about that today. And Sean was actually, and we'll talk to Sean on Friday, kind of thinking that this deal might be 2 years. So not a long-term deal for Harley. But it was interesting because Zach Bradford follows up with, how do we feel about the Stars' power play with Steve Spott still being the guy? And I ask you, David,
second,
there is a obvious close connection between DeBoer and Steve Spott. And we knew there wouldn't be change. However, when you do look at that power play and the talent on that power play, I thought it struggled at times. Do you think we'll see new wrinkles this year? Because if there was something that could have possibly pushed him over the top, it was that power play in the playoffs.
Yes. So, like, I am, as much as I don't want to make excuses for the power play, I will make excuses. In the playoffs, they were second in the league in the postseason in expected goals for, when adjusted for minutes. So the quality was there. And I think they deserved a better fate. And sometimes that's just what happens in the playoffs, right? You know, it doesn't always make sense. Dallas, I think, deserved better. And I think you'll see better. And I think a big part of that is going to be, well, Wyatt Johnson, who is very much, you know, sort of not just in the prime of his career, but just scratching the surface, is also going to be on that top power play unit now. And even though there were, I think there were different things and different strengths Pavelski provided, Johnson is just a better player at this point in their respective careers. And that's going to be huge. I don't, you know, like, I am wary about, like, oh, you know, Johnson is like, you know, maybe 80, 90, 100 points. But I still think that power play time is going to be, you know, really just a big part of what allows him to produce at the level he did last season, if not more, because it's not like the second unit was all that great. So just being on that top unit is going to be huge.
Yeah. Now, TSN this week, I found this in Stars related top five NHL forward duos. Now, they don't necessarily have to play together all the time. But TSN's point, and for those that don't know, in Canada, TSN is the equivalent of ESPN. So major network, major sports network, major website, major hockey info place, as far as Canada is concerned, it's TSN and Sportsnet. So they don't necessarily have to play on the same line, but when they're together, look out. And TSN has the following at number five, Austin Matthews, Mitch Marner. At number four from Tampa Bay, Nikita Kucherov and Braden Point. Number three, the Stanley Cup champion Florida Panthers, Sasha Barkov and Matthew Tkachuk. At number two, Colorado's Nathan MacKinnon and Mikko Rantanen. And the number one duo, I think this was kind of obvious, Connor McDavid and Leon Draisaitl. So I ask you, David, of those top five, did you think that possibly Robertson and Roope Hintz could flip in there? And if not, are we looking at six or seven?
Yeah, it's, I'm curious, was this like, so the reason why I would absolutely put Robertson and Hintz, I'm not sure where I put them. I think they're just basically synonymous with those groups. And the reason why is because Robertson and Hintz, something we've kind of like discussed, you and I have discussed, something that I've written about, which is the defense of both forwards. Like with Hintz, it's always kind of been there. He's been just a strong two-way forward pretty much the entire time he's been an NHL player, whereas Robertson recently developed that. So to me, like just that the fact that these, you know, they're giving you, you know, close to 60 goals just kind of by themselves and have strong defensive impacts, to me, like I would give that them the edge over someone like, say, like MacKinnon and Rantanen, who I think are maybe a little bit more of a threat offensively, just in terms of like being able to finish plays. But like McKinnon, I've said it before. I talked about this with Dmitry Filipovich on his PDO cast. People don't talk enough about McKinnon just being kind of like not a great defensive forward. He plays with a lot of energy, and I think sometimes that kind of masks some of his defensive miscues. But he is not at all what I would consider. He's an elite player and a cup winner, but not what I would consider like a strong two-way pivot. And so, man, it's hard to argue them over like Matthews and Marner or like Barkov or
Yeah, I agree.
McDavid. So maybe like fourth. I would say maybe like, that's where Robertson and Hintz. I think I would personally put them fourth.
I might replace Nikita Kucherov and Braden Point, but man, anything with Kucherov on it, how do you leave it out? So that's kind of interesting. So the article that David wrote, once again, the Stars forwards couldn't miss last year. Can Pete DeBoer make them even better? Go check it out on D Magazine. And because of that article, Fuzzy Wuzzy Boom Boom writes, is it better to have an abundance of centers, David, and move them to wings, or have a bunch of wingers and convert them to center? Really interesting question.
Man, it's to as much as I hate to just kind of cop out of that question, which is a really good question. I just go back to it's on the player. Like I think if you would, yes, of course you would certainly rather have maybe more sort of more centers than sort of. The way I always use this phrase, the phrase is generalists and specialists, and the fact that Dallas has a lot of generalists, obviously, has paid dividends for them, right? I think what six of their top nine are going to be able to take faceoffs, right? Ben, who is not necessarily a center, but he's taking plenty of faceoffs, still very good at it. Stankoven, center in his junior career, and so forth. So if faceoffs are that important, and I think they are, but I think there are some ways in which they're not. Then yes, having more centers is essential. But at the same time, like I would never give up, say, like I'm trying to real hard not to use Kucherov as an example, but like somebody else that's like a really Connor Garland, perfect example. A center who's not quite as skilled, but hey, but he can take faceoffs. No, like Connor Garland is a fantastic winger who you abs who there's something to be said for somebody that specializes with your kind of traditional winger's responsibilities and that profile. And so yeah, it's nice, but only if you can leverage it. Otherwise, I don't think it's something you should try to force.
Ron from Tyler, Texas, otherwise known as Crow Wi-Fi, asks about John Klingberg. He's a UFA. Would the Stars consider signing him if they have any money left after signing Harley? Just curious. Well, it's a really good question. And as this point, the Stars are crowded in that space. They have guaranteed
Oh, wait, are
contracts.
they?
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, no, I just mean in terms of like, well, would Klingberg still be better than, say, like a Labushkin or a
Oh,
Dumba or a
yeah.
Lundqvist?
I'm not talking better. I'm just
Got
saying
it. Yeah.
where they're at. Yeah. Because I mean, let's go down. You have Heiskanen, you have Dumba, you have Labushkin, you have Esa Lindell, you have Nils Lundqvist. Well, that's five. You have
Brendan Smith.
Brendan Smith is six, coming over from New Jersey.
Oh, you're forgetting Harley because he hasn't
And
actually
Harley, so that's
signed
seven. So you have seven defensemen, and the key is here, all seven are on one-way contracts. So could you do it? Yes, you could. I'm not saying John Klingberg is like, would I take John Klingberg over Nils Lundqvist? Of course I would. But at the same time, these are guaranteed contracts. So to do this, you'd have to waive and most likely eat that salary. And I don't think the Stars have the room to eat a salary.
Yeah, no. I mean, this is and I suspect Ron was really kind of speaking from a place of nostalgia. We all miss and love Klingberg's tenure, especially
Sure.
like he really and he wasn't just a kind of flash in a pan puck mover, even though it may seem like that to the outside world. He was a guy that was genuinely like just an elite puck mover,
Yeah.
and
Good
I
quarterback.
miss yes the ideal. The defenseman that you want dancing the line trying to create offense. And But he sort of hit a wall and then injuries and
Yeah.
just let hey, that's
And I really feel bad because, Klinger's agent, obviously he fired him after the situation of not getting a contract. The whole situation was tough. I know he wanted to be a Dallas star. I believe he still lives here. But I personally like to celebrate him, even if he's in another uniform coming back here, because I think he added a lot to the Stars. Jordan Harper, hockey fan, asked, would Oscar Bock's contract allow him to be the 13th forward? I see him as the perfect fit in the bottom six. Also, what about Maverick Bork getting a shot with 21 and 24, which would be Jason Robertson and Roope Hintz?
So I was surprised that question wasn't asked by Mark Zimmerman, who's just obsessed with this Oscar back. I think the thing with he's a really good example. And for those who don't watch much Texas Stars or the AHL, he's kind of like your sort of Radek Fatsa prototype. And so he's the perfect example of like when maturity is not enough. Like when I watch him, he's really fantastic work ethic. You notice him. He's heavy on the puck, but that sort of maturity and that hard work is just not enough. It's not enough at the NHL level, and that's what he lacks. He lacks that sort of, I don't want to say game breaking skill, because right, we're talking about like somebody that theoretically could just slot into the fourth line and whatnot. But even in that respect, like I don't like, especially with how Dallas's fourth line is created, which is that you have skill, Colin Blackwell. Low key playmaking skill. Evgeny Dadonov, we know what he can do. And so if a player like Bock was in there, like it would do nothing for them. And so that's where I think, if this were like the bonus years, yeah, sure. He's got a spot on the fourth line. But again, like just I like watching him. I think he's good for the Texas Stars, but he's just that good for the Texas Stars, right?
Yeah, and if you
And
go back to last Friday's podcast, I actually asked this question to Sean, and I pose it to you as well, David. Who will be that extra forward, that healthy scratch, which will get a lot of playing time?
I should not even know that, right? It's like Cole Lind.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. I was thinking Cole Lynn,
Why am
a
I
pickup
blanking?
from Seattle.
No, sorry, Blumel would probably be the next man up, right? Blumel is even though he plays left wing, I think he's probably over Lind. I think also because I think Cole Lind, his game is a little bit more raw. Blumel is kind of a little bit more of a plug and play player. It's got speed, he can shoot, and that's pretty much it, which is fine. I
It's
think with
interesting because it really hasn't been talked about this year.
yeah, it's funny because they have their roster is set, but the irony is that Bork is certainly not a sure thing. I mean, I believe in him, plenty of people believe in him, and I think there's every reason to suspect he'll have success, but at the same time, and getting back to the question, by the way, from the reader, which is that, I think for a lot of people, Bork next to Robertson and Hintz kind of may not work on kind of like a superficial level. Oh, well, it's going to slow it down, right? Bork's not terribly fast or agile, and he hasn't proved his speed. And by the way, don't take my word for it. I think the best like public scout in all of public scouting, David St. Louis, did a great breakdown at EP Ringside. Kind of he picked up on the same thing. He noticed that increased first step. And so Bork is developing those things. But of course, I think the main thing is that like, well, Pavelski wasn't fast either. And that line worked just fine. Pavelski wasn't, didn't lose chemistry with him because, oh, he got slower. No, it's because like, he kind of lost his reflexes and his puck control. And so I think it's something you absolutely have to experiment with, especially if you want to keep the Ben Johnston and Stankoven trio and you're confident that Duchesne and Sagan and Marchment will kind of bounce back. They had great seasons, but everybody remembers the playoffs. And so it's probably not. I think it's number three. And I'm curious about what you think is the right in terms of the forward combinations. I think number one is going to be, I think their first top choice is going to be Robertson, Hintz, and Johnston.
Yep.
followed by Ben, Bork, and Stankoven.
Yep.
And then maybe you consider Johnston or Hintz, Robertson, and Bork. I think it's probably like your third.
Right. I mean, the lines that I have them as far as the top nine, I would like to see Johnston get a shot at that first line with Robertson and Hintz, played up there a little bit. I love the combo of Bork and Stankoven because of the familiarity in Texas and putting a veteran like Jamie Benn with them. I know Johnston certainly ignited that line and Jamie Benn, so that's something to keep your eye on. And absolutely, I'm keeping the Duchesne, Marchment, Sagan together. So, I mean, those are my top nine, but I think there is some flexibility with Wyatt Johnston. I mean, I personally feel if Mavericks with Stankoven and with Benn, that alleviates some pressure. You know, that's kind of your third line, so to speak, to start the year. Because I know there'll be some pressure on him, but I want the kid to feel as comfortable as possible. And I think with Logan Stankoven and what they did in the AHL, I think that would be a high confidence situation for him.
Now, do you think that, by the way, I like co-sign all that. And that's kind of one of the reasons why I wanted to write the article that I wrote today, which is that I do think whether or not DeBoer gets it right. And I don't know what that means, what that refers to. What does it mean to be right? What's the right combination? We don't know. But experimenting and just and finding that balance, finding that right chemistry, I think is exactly going to be what allows them to be not just as dangerous as they were last season, but even more dangerous. I'm curious what your prediction is for that, by the way. Who do you think is the top line when the playoffs start?
I think the top line will be Robertson, Hintz, insert third player here.
Well, thank you, Gavin.
I mean, I really do think it's Wyatt Johnston. I mean, I think you have to give him that opportunity. And I like that combo of the three. I think Wyatt Johnston can adjust his game to whoever he's with. And you know, I kind of love his talent, and I also like his defensive ability in that first line. So that would be my guess, would be Wyatt Johnston.
But does that sacrifice some of the kind of velocity and, you know, sort of momentum that Benn and Stankoven had? Because whatever we think of Bork, that's going to be a downgrade. Or whatever we think of Johnston, I got it right the first time. Whatever we think of Bork, it's still going to be a downgrade because we just don't quite know. And
we don't know.
Johnston sets an impossible standard.
No, we don't know. We don't know how Maverick Bork will adjust. We all think he will adjust. In fact, you know, many people think that him and Stankoven are Calder favorites for Rookie of the Year, which I think is terrific. But we don't know. I mean, I'm not saying that this will happen, but the scenario of a Sam Steele moving up and a Bork down to the fourth line, not long term, but if he's struggling, I think is a fair analysis at this point because we don't know. And I
think that's the name of the episode, by the way.
We don't know?
Yeah.
No, that's awful. No, we do know. That's why people listen, David. Okay. You always put me in a good mood. Steven asks, by the way, great picture on Twitter, Steven. Steady Rhythms is his Twitter handle. Do you think people may be putting too much expectation pressure on Johnston? This is something you brought up, David, to be a bona fide star this season. I've seen people tweeting they think he'll be a point per game or even 100 points. And I don't think that's fair for the 21-year-old. Point production is hard.
I mean, that's the standard that he set. And yeah. I would say that, and I would actually be surprised if Johnston, not like, for one, I don't think he's going to take a step back. That would like shock me, but I would be surprised if he lingered around this similar production precisely because, well, if he's on the top power play unit, that's going to juice point totals. And there's no reason why that shouldn't have a pretty significant effect on his production. That's not to say that there is not a cap because on what he can do, because I do feel like Johnson is somebody that's really invested in developing the defensive side of his game. And, you know, when that happens, you know, that, you know, usually that kind of takes away from like just raw production, like a Kucherov. Right. Yeah. So yeah, like there's, I think, a limit there. And, but at the same time, again, that I think is a testament to Johnston. The fact that he set the expectation that high is still a good sign whether he meets them or not.
And Steven also adds, between changes in his roles, tougher competition, the league having more scouting eyes on him, even living without the Pavelski family, he thinks the production ends up similar to last season as he is forced to adjust some more. I will say this, Steven, about living with the Pavelski family. Amazing, amazing experience for Wyatt Johnston. But when you look at the greats in the NHL, and Sidney Crosby lived with Mario Lemieux, so there are, you know, many greats that live with other players. And I think, you know, they learn how to adapt. And they will adapt, but he's had the whole offseason to adapt. So, but thank you once again, Joe Pavelski, for that. Jeffrey asked, Johnston with Robo and Hintz, Bork and Stankoven with Ben. I know Johnston deserves to center his own line, but the idea here is to rekindle the AHL chemistry of Bork and Stankoven. I did not intentionally schedule that question to go along with my opinion, but man, Jeffrey, thank you for making me sound good.
Yeah, and there's also no reason why it shouldn't work. I mean, anybody that saw Bork and Stankoven kind of knows that like everything about their chemistry was NHL translatable. The sort of the three zone work, the defensive ability, the way they hustled along the wall, like it'll be fine. I don't know about like the production just going like through the roof, but nonetheless, they'll be effective.
Yeah. From Italy, where he played professional hockey in Italy, Flo Wee F Weezer 55. Why is everybody assuming that Robo and Hintz play together with Johnston, Bork, and Duchesne as natural centers? I would like to see them to try Hintz as a winger. Man, I love when Flo Wee chimes in because he plays the game for a long time. So stick tap to you, my friend. Hope you're doing well in Italy. Can't wait to visit you someday. That's a good point. I think people are assuming it because that's the way it's been for 2 years.
You know, it's funny that so I had an interview with Jack Hahn on the Substack, and that was something that he mentioned, which I don't think I'd ever heard anyone kind of bring up before, which is that if you pay attention to when Hintz is at his most dangerous, it's typically most dangerous in kind of like a typical winger's attack, or like, you know, like in a winger's lane, for example, him kind of flown down ice. And I never really picked up on that. And I don't necessarily, Hintz is fantastic. He's an elite player as a center. I think you keep him there. But, you know, listen, like things can change. You know, part of what allowed Duchesne to just go ballistic, you know, outside of the prime of his career was Nashville throwing him on the right wing, and he just blew up. So you never know. I wouldn't do it personally, yeah, but I think it's a worthwhile thought experiment.
By the way, we're going to go across the pond again and talk to Martin Krooms, who has a question and wants you to play a game, David. But I do want to do an International Stars fan podcast. I think that would be really cool. And get Martin and Flo Wee and just get these guys, you know, and talk about how they became Stars fans. Because it really is interesting, all the international flavor that we have here on Spits and Suds. So he would like us to play over under. So I'm going to say, and you say over or under. We got about three or four things, David, so we'll run through them real quick. Are you ready to play this game? David Castillo of D Magazine and the Substack Star Stack.
Over.
Got it. Okay. Sagan, 25 goals.
Under.
Robertson, 90 points.
Under.
Hintz, 70 points.
Over.
All right. He says, how many Stars will get 25 goals this year? I will say the number is 5.
6.
Finally, thoughts on going after bring home Blake Coleman at the trade deadline in March? Wait, Blake Coleman had a really nice year for Calgary last year.
It's such a random question, though. Like,
I know. I kind of like the over-under game. That was fun. And finally, David, after such a fun game, thoughts on going after bring home Blake Coleman at the trade deadline in March?
No, it's listen, solid player, but the roster is set, and there's nobody on Dallas's roster, especially in the top nine, that I would want that I would want Blake Coleman over. Sure, on the fourth line, maybe over like someone like Dadonov, I guess. But I think Dadonov has been like low key underrated. Like he's been solid in the playoffs, and this goes all the way back to the I'm sure I'm butchering the way this is pronounced, the Gagarin Cup, right? The kind of the equivalent of the Stanley Cup in Russia and the KHL. So. Yeah, no. I hate to dispirit you like that. I apologize. You look extremely sad when I said that, but
I'm a Blake
Coleman
Coleman
was a great
guy.
player.
I am a Blake Coleman guy. But I am a Dadonov guy too. I really like what he plays, like brings to the table. I love his versatility. I love that he just wants to be on the ice as a veteran. I think that's really, really important. He's not a guy that's expecting top line minutes. But if injuries did take over this Stars team, honestly, this is a guy that could play on any line. And I think that's great. So that fourth line is going to be fascinating this year. Really, really fascinating, because I'll say this, in doing our previews, when I was talking with our friend in Chicago previewing the Blackhawks and asked about Colin Blackwell, just they were like, you know what? That was a tough one to lose, which is interesting because you have some massive names on that Chicago team, but they didn't want to lose him.
Yeah, I've said before, like I think Blackwell's going to be he's going to surprise Stars fans who haven't seen him, and has really made, like, except for his time in Toronto, has made like quality stops. Like he was really good in New York. Yeah, like it's I mean, I don't want to like oversell how excited I am about Colin
Just needs
Blackwell,
to be
but I
healthy.
do think, yeah, I do think he's going to be just really solid on the fourth line. That's all you're asking for.
Yeah. Martin goes on to ask, how does the new Draisaitl contract affect Robertson and Johnston's next contract? I don't think it does because Draisaitl's in another category.
Yeah.
I put both Robertson and Johnston a tier down from those categories. Especially with the cap going up, will Neil lock up some players long term instead of bridge deals? Only four players signed past 25, 26 currently. I think the short term deals are for long term cap flexibility. Until the Ben and Sagan contracts leave, so to speak, with Ben up this year, that is going to open up some dollars, and they can bring him back, but it's going to be less than his over $8 million deal that he has currently.
Unless he has another 60-point season, like I don't, like I said, I still feel like if Ben remains relevant, especially if he's paired with Johnston and Stankoven, his stats are going to make him look a lot better than he actually is, because I do think there are parts of Ben that have declined. Like he's I don't think he's a good defensive forward at this point in his career, but still has a lot of value, and people are going to sort of. In the negotiating room, you're going to have that in addition to, hey, and this guy can also drop the gloves. I mean, do you want to win? Like that's, sort of people, even though I don't really think, and not only that, but like Ben is like, if we're, by the way, if we're being like technique fight nerds, Ben has like lost a step in terms of like fighting. Like I don't really want to see him like fighting that much anymore.
I don't
If
either.
it happens, I'll enjoy it and pretend like I was against it morally. But he's it just he it's not the game that he needs to play. And I think he sort of plays better when he's just kind of focused on his talent with the puck.
I think your fights will come defensively this year. I mean, the Stars didn't fight a lot last year, so they're not the Philadelphia Flyers, but that's just not their style of play. Dylan Moreland asked, when DeBoer was brought in, one of the pluses that was mentioned in the hire was that the team already had a strong defensive backbone from the bonus years. Now that Miro Heiskanen and Esa Lindell are the only blue liners remaining from that era, do we see more, quote, cracks in the armor naturally, David?
No, I would say that I would say that Dallas's blue line is better now than it was in the bonus years, and I apologize for that noise. I do play Magic the Gathering in my downtime, so I have some dice that are kind of on my desk, and one of them just fell. Anyways, man, you were not at all amused by Magic the Gathering. You have this look like, dude, don't talk about that. Don't we,
I know.
This is not a Dungeons and Dragons podcast.
I didn't hear the dice. B,
okay.
Just opened up a whole new conversation for another podcast. So, I mean, so do you roll the dice and then play with other people online?
Well, the dice rolling is determined when who goes first. Hold on a second. We're not going to talk about this.
Okay. All right.
For one, I'm ashamed. I'm ashamed of playing Magic.
You shouldn't be ashamed. That's fine. If you enjoy it. Then I admit I'm a professional wrestling nerd. I grew up on professional wrestling, and my whole life I've watched professional wrestling.
That's way more socially acceptable.
I'm still
you beg
single.
To differ.
I'm still single. You're the married guy. So there you go. Okay. Sorry. Back to hockey, folks. All right. So you think that they are better at the blue line than they were under the bonus years?
Well, yeah, a lot of it too is, you know, it's kind of this, like, you know, where I think that was always my criticism of Bonus, which is not that Bonus wasn't a very good defensive coach, because he was, but because sort of that defense came and was sacrificed for offense. DeBoer comes in and you see the offense explode, but they're not like a bad defensive team. And I think sometimes like with how fast hockey, forcing the other, you know, the other team to play defense, you know, is also like another way to defend, you know, in its own way. So, no, like I think there are definitely things about, you know, this team's defense that can use work, but I think they're a much better team under DeBoer than they were under DeBonis, despite, yes, he went to the Stanley Cup Finals, but nobody like predicted that would happen. Everybody assumed, especially with how they played in March before they got into the playoffs, that they would just get trounced in the first round. And don't forget, a Joel Kiviranta hat trick powered them through the Western Conference Finals over Colorado. That's never going to happen again. Yeah. so no, like to me, like Dallas is a better team. And that just negates whatever, you know, defensive minutia we want to go over in terms of like, well, you know, whether or not they had. Plus, again, to me, I've always made the argument that like I think the Heiskanen effect is real. And as long as Heiskanen's on this team, Dallas's defense is going to be stable.
Yeah. Yeah. I also think depth, and we can't say that enough compared to some of the bonus years. I mean, it was for a while, and everyone remembers this, after the first two lines left the ice, and after the first pairing or two defensively left the ice, it's like, okay, hold it down. Try your best to keep it in the zone. Give those top two lines a rest, and then they'll come back out to score. Now, I really do feel like that third and fourth line, anyone can score on the ice. You know, and I think that's great, and that shows the depth of this team. And speaking of depth, Kenny Howard asks, what does the organization hope to see from Liam Bixel next weekend in Traverse City? So, Liam Bixel, hot topic of every Spits and Suds podcast, and for good reason. We mentioned the 7 defensemen that are on guaranteed one-way contracts, and that means that Liam Bixel, unless there's an injury, he will be next up, but most likely will start the season in Texas. I'm excited about his development. I'm excited they picked up, David, some veteran D-men for some depth pieces down in Texas, because I think that will help as well. I'm expecting him to continue his growth, and then, you know, maybe he'll come up in the next couple. Injuries will happen, and I think we will see Liam Bixel this year.
Yeah, I think what, and I think Dallas is going to be the Traverse City tournament, you know, even though it's only 2 days, is I think if you're Dallas's scouts, I think what you're going to be looking for is, okay, if he is an NHL option, then we're going to look at him through a critical eye and we're going to find out if, you know, he's developed. You know, I've talked about him before, like I've written a lot about him over there at the Substack. And the thing that I always mention that I'm sure people like find kind of funny to hear, you know, for those that don't see him a whole lot, is that he does remind me, and don't laugh, of Julius Honka with the way he handles the puck. He is very much a puck hog. He loves, you know, making that extra dangle. He loves making that extra like shift or pivot, away from pressure, trying to find the middle of the ice. He does not use the wall a whole lot. And I think it's great. Like I don't want to see him lose that part of a game, part of his game. I think it's also part of what makes him unique. Yes, of course, very different player than Honka. But the point is that I think the team and the scouts are going to want to see a player that's able to make the simple play more often, because you're not going to be able to. I mean, he can still do that at the NHL level, and I think he will. But still, you know, the sort of the standard play is, well, you know, make the quick decision, make the simple play. And so that'll be, I think, what the team wants to see from him, because that's going to be his bread and butter, how he plays in the defensive zone. And I think you saw some of that once he came back from Sweden. I think you saw in the Calder Cup playoffs a defenseman that was able to make the quote-unquote simple play while still being, you know, who he is, which is kind of a very unique sort of play processor.
One of the things that we're going to start to do on Spits and Suds is also shout out people for their dedication to the program. We've had Jeff Kay on in the past. He always likes and retweets us a lot of times, the PA announcer of the Stars, just an all-around great guy. Also, your voice of the Dallas Cowboys at AT&T Stadium. So thank you so much for your support, Jeff. And a young listener to the program, Lily Yalovsky. She's the high schooler who loves analytics, NHL, and Dallas Stars, and she writes for her high school paper, the Bulldog Print, tweets and analyzes the Dallas Stars. Lily, thank you so much for liking our tweets and supporting the program. We truly appreciate it. And there was one more question about the Harley contract. Let's just spend a minute on that. Sean Shapiro talking with GM Jim Nill. Sean will be on the program on Friday from Traverse City and will give us a update on that. But he was saying that it looks like he feels as though Harley will likely get a 2-year deal. That's what we're looking about. But a very calm Jim Nill regarding we're not in a rush on this.
Yeah, because it doesn't have to be. I mean, like, I think if it's a bridge deal, then, you know, per Evolving Hockey's contract projections is 3.9. The Broberg, you know, deal may be sort of may kind of up the up the cap count, if you will. And like in terms of like his negotiating team arguing that like, well, hey, I'm way better than Broberg, but you know, a very different circumstance, right? So yeah, like I wouldn't. I'm not really. It's going to get done,
Yeah.
and like I don't know how else to kind of unpack the situation.
Yeah. Thanks for to William for asking that question. I did want to end on a great note that came out today. Stick Tap, as always, to Spit and Chicklets. They do a fantastic job. I feel as though they've taken hockey talk to new levels as far as what Ryan Whitney and Paul Bissonnette have been able to do at Barstool Sports. So Stick Tap to those boys. And one of the things that they told the story today was about Hall of Fame goalie Robert Luongo. And basically, there was an ad for a beer league hockey team, David, that was in the playoffs against a team that had won the championship, I believe, for 6 straight years. And their goalie went down, meaning the team that they were playing the champions. So they put an ad out. We need a goalie. And I think Sean Shapiro can relate being the beer league champion he is this year. And David, Robert Luongo answered that tweet, put back on the pads, and played with the boys. So how about that? You're walking into, you're a champion. You're walking in, strutting yourself. You know, here we go, 7 straight years. And next thing you know, you are facing off against a Hall of Famer in net.
That's pretty amazing. I had not heard the story at all. And like many, like there are always, it seems to all, there are always good Luongo stories.
Yeah.
One of the very few great characters in hockey.
No, I agree. I agree. There was a interview he did with WWE. He was actually grew up a wrestling fan, and his kid now is a wrestling fan. They were recently in Sunrise, Florida. So he was in the front row. Crowd went nuts. I mean, he's just a fan favorite. I thought Leah Hextall actually was doing the interview. She works both in the NHL and in hockey. She asked a great question that I've always wondered. Is it the same as far as hoisting the cup when you're not playing? And he said, obviously you want to get it as a player, but it is the same. And this has been great for me. So I thought that was really cool.
That's I'm not, I don't have anything else for you, Gavin. Like, I can't.
That's okay. We appreciate you as always. And once again, D Magazine, click, click, click. Let's support David. It's a really interesting article. The Stars forwards couldn't miss last year. Compete DeBoer, make them even better. You can also follow David on Star Stack. That's his Substack. So please register there. It is a paid subscription, but David's going to fill you in on all kinds of information. My friend, we are weeks away from the start of training camp, and with Victory Plus, all preseason games will be able to be watched for free this year, David.
Wait a second. So hold on. We are not weeks away. We this weekend, Traverse City. And by the way, I hope that was not like when I said I didn't have anything left for you. Like, I just like Luongo, I can only talk so much about. That was not like a cue for me. Like, Gavin, I don't want to talk to you anymore, man. Like, I don't feel like it's too late. I don't feel like doing this podcast. I love doing this, man.
I was
it's
ready
fantastic.
To walk you out to your car and end the night.
What was it? Oh, yeah. So Trevor, you know, my thing is freaking part of. Right. So you've seen a little bit of a price fight, right? You've seen UFC boxing.
Yeah.
Right. So how many times have you seen two great fighters, a little too evenly matched, fight, and it's just a total snooze fest? Not very fun.
Right.
This is such a convoluted analogy. I should just like stop. But the point is, listen, like, you know, even like the worst fighters can put on like put on a show. And that's the way I kind of think of Traverse City, you know, not to call them bad players, just that, listen, it's going to be fun. And to me, that's like hockey.
I think it is going to be fun. I understand why teams are more protective, but Sean has pointed out, I wish there were more games between teams.
Yeah, well, he's also kind of pointing out why there isn't, right? Convenience and cost.
Yeah.
It's like, I wish there was like something else that the NHL could arrange, but at the same time, it is a long season. Like, as much as I love it, I know that that's probably just kind of hell on earth for like some players. And so, it's like, I'm just going to appreciate what I have. And that to me is Traverse City in a nutshell. And if it like ends up just being, you know, Dallas versus like Nashville versus Vegas for just like, you know, Battle of the South, I mean, that would be cool too. Right. I mean, isn't that what like the LA, right? So the West Coast, right? They have the rookie tournament, the rookie face-off tournament. Celebrini's going to be there. It's going to be a lot of, and that's a 10-game tournament. It's absolutely insane.
Yeah, no, you're absolutely right. We did a preview last week on the Nashville Predators, and I just want to throw this out there. And like I said, injuries can happen, but first power play unit for the Predators, if all goes well, Philip Forsberg, Ryan O'Reilly, Jonathan Marchessault, Steven Stamkos, and Roman Josi.
I mean, it's, you know, I think a lot of people, maybe even Predators fans, take for granted how special of an offensive talent Roman Josi is.
Yes.
And it's easy to forget that he's like, what, 34? He's old. I mean, like, obviously in hockey, you know, like, I'm like talking as a 40-year-old, like, yeah, he's an old dude. No, he's like in his, I'm pretty sure he's like 34. There's like, he's much older advanced, I should say, and he is still just absolutely fire.
Well, it's kind of interesting too, is that, you know, when Stamkos signs and then Marchessault signs and, you know, just nice pickups in the off season, and you kind of forget that, man, Ryan O'Reilly's a pretty darn good player still. And obviously Philip Forsberg is really good as well. They're going to be really, really, you know, I think they're going to be tough. I personally feel like they're going to be fighting the Stars for the top of the Central.
So you think they'll be top three? I think it's going to be Colorado, Dallas, and Minnesota in the Central. Those are my three picks. I know Minnesota is not going to be popular with Stars fans, or maybe even you. I think you think Nashville is going to be there. But
well, I will say this. I think people have forgotten how good Kirill the Thrill is in Minnesota if he stays healthy. And I think that can be a game changer. I do like the pieces in Minnesota, but I think it has to all come together. So I am going to go, in no particular order, Dallas, Nashville, Colorado.
Okay.
But I do like your Minnesota pick. I can understand why you're saying that. I will also add, as I have Spits and Suds listeners, like, quit mentioning it because you're probably going to be wrong. I think Utah's going to play around for a while as far as a wild card team. I really like their lineup. I like defensively what they're all about. I think a new stadium, adrenaline, new ownership, treated well. I just think that's going to provide a lot of energy for this Utah team.
As much as I want to sort of disagree with it, I don't. I think mainly because I feel like their blue line is going to be, especially with like Sergachev, this is like such a fantastic pickup. I think the pieces have kind of always been there. They just never really had the right mixture of like veteran support. And this time they kind of have a little bit of that in like key positions. But also I just think Logan Cooley is going to have like a fantastic year. And I think he's just a fantastic player. And I can't wait for a lot of their prospects, like Dmitry Simashev. They're massive. It's like they're more talented Leon Bixell, right? He was fifth overall a couple of years ago.
Yeah.
He's going to be a beast I think he's still under contract in the KHL, but he's going to be somebody to watch. And when that happens, I think they're going to have Maverick Lamoureux as well, famous for his parents having quite the basic instinct-ish kiss on camera when he got drafted. They're going to have a massive team. Good defenseman, big defenseman, but also like skill up front. And the Iginla pick was great, by the way.
Yeah. No, I agree. I think Iginla is probably 1 or 2 years away. Also want to throw this out there, but it's kind of forgotten with, you know, Clayton Keller's terrific as well. But Josh Doan, the son of Shane Doan, 11 games played, 9 points. And it was kind of like mop up duty, you know, coming up. But at the same time, I mean, that's a good third line player, good young player coming out of Arizona State. So I personally think they're good. And I think when you look at, defensively, I mean, look at these top six: Sergachev, Durzi, Valimaki, John Marino, I thought was a terrific pickup, the veteran, and Ian Cole, another veteran they picked up to pair with Michael Kesselring as a third pairing. That's a terrific. So, I honestly love the Central Division this year.
It bothers me how much you know about hockey. Like, I don't understand it. You were talking about like Michael Kesselring, I watched the odd Arizona game too. And I'm like, why is he talking about Michael Kesselring? Have I seen that guy? Yeah, I have seen him. Oh, man. And I'm just kind of like, man, I'm supposed to be the expert, not you. You're supposed to be the charismatic host. But no, you are the expert, Gavin. You're the expert and the host.
Oh,
and
man,
I wish you'd stop talking about like Josh Doan and freaking Michael Kesselring, which, you know, nobody that loves Stars cares about. But you love hockey. And I guess that's why they listen to you.
I do love hockey, and I'm single. So therefore I can watch a lot of games and watch a lot of tape. And I love hockey because I think analytics in hockey is so important, but I don't know. There's just guys to me sometimes that I don't want to say prove analytics wrong, but they're just guys that get it done. You know, so it's you know, I remember Luds and I had a great conversation, and he said to me, he's like, do you know who Stankoven reminds me of? And I said, Brendan Gallagher. And he said, oh my God, that's right. And it's like, true. When you look at those players, Gallagher needs to stay healthy, but there is a lot of similarities as far as smaller guy, but putting himself in front of the net, kind of like feisty, you know? So, I mean, I love the comparisons, and that's what I get excited about. And I just think this league right now is better than really it ever has been. As far as the talent, when you look top to bottom, even like in these previews, you know, we're talking about the Chicago Blackhawks. Oh, or, you know, go, well, how good are they going to be? Well, I don't know. Taylor Hall's coming back this year, you know, and it's just, they have some exciting pieces for the Blackhawks. So I love finding these like Anaheims, and, you know, I think Ottawa is going to be a fascinating team to watch this year. So that stuff gets me excited.
You know, like, you're really going to like, you're going to like bait me like that and have the analytics eye test nonsense debate at the end of this podcast. Like, I now I'm not sure I like you so much, Gavin.
No, but we do, we will, Stars fans, we will do a podcast where I am going to ask David, and we'll do it at another time because we're going to wrap this up, but I want David to give away some of his secrets as a Stars fan. What analytics are most important? We've kind of touched on it in the past, but I think it's really important for Stars fans to write down, you know, what are GMs looking at? Because I think David, you know, is one of the tops as far as the pulse on analytics. So
learning lesson. We know for a fact that, well, what are they looking at? Well, sometimes they're looking at the very websites that we are, like Cap Friendly.
Boy, that's true. That still like resonates with me.
Oh my God.
The fact that they're just like, teams are scrambling when Cap Friendly goes away. That was amazing to me. Well, you are awesome, sir. I could talk to you all night. Thank you so much. Really appreciate it. You can hear the excitement in this voice that hockey season's about to begin, but I also love the mailbag. I can't stress that enough. I love answering questions, and you did a heck of a job answering questions for Stars fans tonight.
It was my pleasure. And thank you, Stars fans, for the questions.
Yes, yes, I agree. Once again, you can catch David on Twitter at David Castillo, and also Stars Stack is his Substack, and D Magazine, read the latest article from David. Sean will join us on Friday. And for David Castillo, I'm Gavin Spittle. Also wanted to highlight thanks to David, because as I pointed out with Sean, we are nothing without these guys. And Spits and Suds just surpassed last year's total for 2023. So to say that going into hockey season this year, pretty amazing. And it's thanks to people like you, David. Truly appreciate the support. We're having a gigantic year. This thing continues to grow because of you, Stars fans, because of your questions, because of your feedback, because you are spreading the word. And that's what's so cool when you see other podcasts pop up and everything. Remember, the goal of this podcast when we began is to grow this great game in DFW. For David, I'm Gavin. We will talk to you soon on Spits and Suds. We are almost there as far as preseason. We'll have it covered right here on Spits and Suds. Have a great day, everyone.